Well, it's hard to find happiness. When you get it, you always want more. You can't always get what you want. Mr. Jimmy was right, especially when it comes to how things really work and the true believers in politics. And we're going to talk about that in podcast 814, the Bob Davis Podcasts. So people have been asking me if they have Android devices, what the best way to get the Bob Davis Podcasts is. And I would say Google Play Music or Spotify. I've noted some interesting issues with Stitcher.com. Stitcher has usually been a recommendation for Android devices. I've certainly pushed it. But Spotify's podcast service is really very good. So I would recommend loading Spotify. You can put it on your phone. And I think their system for syndicating the podcast is a little bit better. Of course, the podcasts are always available at iTunes or blogtalkradio.com or Spreaker.com or TuneIn or many other syndicated service and right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I also have streaming. So when you hit the page, there's a button there you can hit play. And on some browsers, it just plays. Appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, such as they are, and love recommendations and shares of both thebobdavispodcast.com and also when you see a post on Facebook or Twitter. And I appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, which will be heading out soon, at least in podcast time at thebobdavispodcast.com. Just look for a picture of Mobile Podcast Command, hit the donate button, and you're on your way. Well, there is a freezing and thawing nightmare going on right now in Minneapolis and St. Paul and largely Minnesota. And of course, that means plumbing and heating problems this time of the year. If you have them, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, you have to have somebody who can give you reliable service. So the cold weather and the freezing and the thawing usually means potentially broken pipes. It means water heaters go down. It means furnaces go down. It means other kinds of issues. Also, once it warms up, people start watering their lawns and they find out they have a broken pipe in the basement. Again, when this happens, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Residential and business. We will be talking about AC checks when it gets warm, so hang on for that. Again, reliable service. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, for the record, I live in Minnesota's 5th Congressional District, home to freshman Congressman Ilhan Omar. Last fall, Democrats in Minnesota's 5th District elected one of two Muslim women to Congress. The other one was from Michigan. Ilhan Omar is the 5th District Congressman and replaced Keith Ellison. By the way, Ilhan is Muslim, so was Keith Ellison. Ilhan, of course, is a Somali immigrant and Muslim. And she is the one who's in the news because of her views on Israel. According to reports, Congressman Omar said something on Twitter related to Israel. And let me tell you, good luck finding the tweet. It takes quite a lot of effort. You'll find lots of articles about the tweet, and you'll find lots of articles quoting tweets and quoting pieces of Omar's opinions regarding Israel. But you have to go to her Twitter feed and then scroll down to February 11th. On February 11th, in response to a tweet of a story by Glenn Greenwald filed with Vox, which was about Keith Ellison, former congressman from the 5th District, being a Muslim and the issues that he dealt with as a Muslim, Greenwald talked about the Israel lobby. Regarding that story, Omar tweeted, "It's all about the Benjamin's baby," a reference to some Puff Daddy song, which all the reporters breathlessly pointed out. Something you would know if you liked Puff Daddy, right? But I don't really have much experience with the Puff or Puff Daddy or Puffy or whatever he's called. So I got the whole implication is it's about money in Congress. And of course, it being Twitter, hilarity ensued. I want to say one quick thing. You know, I know Congressman, and one of the things that that is often said by congressmen and decried by congressmen is the obsession with money and the need for them to constantly be fundraising while in office. So Omar's comments don't come as a big surprise. Well, there was a flood of tweets. Omar is an anti-Semite. This is a terrible example of hating the Jews. Republicans picked it up and shouted it from the parapets because it served their purposes. Memes on Twitter, on Facebook, and everywhere else. And I never mentioned it or did a podcast about it. Why? First of all, I didn't think that her tweet was that offensive, and I'll tell you why. First of all, AIPAC, A-I-P-A-C, which is the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, is a huge lobby in Washington. That is essentially what she was saying. Even Donald Trump has made comments about the Israeli lobby, suggesting at one point during his campaign in 2016 that they wouldn't like him because he's not taking their money. Nobody talks about that. Remember, there was also a slightly, and I suppose I'm understating that, slightly anti-Semitic quality to some of Trump's alt-right supporters when it came to the media and Hollywood and who runs the news media and who runs Hollywood. But we don't talk about that. Second, in Minnesota, we have some of the most extreme left-wing politicians. So when I encounter a left-wing politician from Minnesota, especially the 5th District, it just doesn't have any effect on me because there are districts in this state and in Minneapolis and St. Paul so safely Democrat. In some cases, these left-wing politicians run virtually unopposed, or they may as well be unopposed because the Republican candidates they're running against haven't got a prayer. Moreover, the Republican Party in the state in terms of running potentially competitive candidates in these districts is useless because it's caved in and lost. So yeah, big surprise. A representative who is a Somali refugee from a huge community of Somali refugees and a huge community of left-wing Democrats in the 5th District of Minnesota and Minneapolis in St. Paul would take an anti-Israel position. But wait, there's more. The U.S. State Department, as you may or may not know, decides where legal political refugees are placed. Somalis started being placed in the United States going back to Somalia's civil war back in 1991 and just before that during the 80s when things started to go bad in that place. Remember, we invaded Somalia. Remember, we invaded to save them from their anarchy and whatever else was going on there. My understanding is the process of immigration depends on voluntary agencies called VOLAGs that contract with the State Department. In our state, Minnesota, that includes Lutheran Social Services, Catholic Charities, and World Relief Minnesota. So many Somalis who are Muslim came here sponsored by the Lutheran Brotherhood and the Catholic Charities and others, living mostly in Minneapolis proper in the heart of the 5th District at Cedar Riverside, and they have been given a large amount of aid, some say as much as $107,000 per refugee. That does not appear to be outside the realm when it comes to political refugees in this state and across the country. Somalis are the second largest refugee group in Minnesota. Over the years, about 100,000 of them had been admitted to the U.S. Officially, there are about 52,000 in Minnesota, mostly in the 5th District. As far as the 5th District is concerned, Somalis made history in terms of voter turnout in 2018 in this district. And what's more, they were helped by a Jewish outreach effort to the Somalis began several years ago. Finally, I want to point this out because I think it's interesting in terms of constituencies. The Jewish Virtual Library says 45,000 Jewish people live in Minnesota, a lot less than Somali. Now, this podcast isn't about the history of Somali refugees in Minnesota or the experience of Jews in Minnesota over the years. The fact is that early on, they were organized into Democrat, Farm, Labor, Somali political organizations, and I think that's very interesting for the purposes of this discussion. Moreover, the fact that as late as 2017, the Minneapolis Star Tribune was gushing about Muslim-Jewish political alliances because it makes everyone feel good when it comes to the things happening in the world vis-a-vis Israel and the Palestinians and Muslims versus Jews and so forth and so on. The fact that the Jewish vote in Minnesota, and especially in Minnesota's 5th District, is generally Democrat is also germane. And then finally, the fact that the 5th District of Minnesota has not been represented by a Republican since 1962 is also really, really important. What is Congressman Omar doing? Well, she's drawing attention to the fact that Israel is one of the biggest lobbyists when it comes to the United States. They are not the biggest, but the second biggest, spending as much as $63 million to give to American political candidates. The first is South Korea, but you never hear about South Korea because they don't have a problem with the Palestinian community right next to them that is generating all kinds of attention. By the way, right behind Israel is Japan, followed by Ireland and the Emirates. And lobbying pays off. Israel received about $3.2 billion in aid in 2018. Iraq received $3.5 billion. But again, nobody talks about the fact that we give Iraq more aid than Israel. Obviously, Israel expects something from congressmen, senators, and presidents they donate to, which is what Congressman Omar was suggesting. Now, suddenly, there have to be condemnations and resolutions about hate speech and so on, because obviously the contributors to various campaigns on both sides of the political fence by AIPAC and other Jewish lobbies, perfectly within their rights, why are we surprised that this goes on? Especially, and this is really the point of this whole thing here, not to, you know, bust on the Jews or Somalis, but why is the Jewish community surprised here in the 5th District? And Democrats in general talking about finding a primary challenger to Omar in 2020, and by extension, Democrats who call themselves moderates really upset about the new progressives who are very vocal about condemning the Democrat moderates. Now, in the second half of this podcast, we're going to continue to talk about happiness and how difficult happiness is to find in politics. We're going to talk about another closely held shibboleth of the Democratic Party in the 5th District in the state of Minnesota, light rail. Well, I've been talking about a new company that I'm working with as a payment processor called ReliaFund. I have a ReliaFund button on my website at thebobdavispodcast.com for clients to pay by check, and it works great. If you have a business and you want to get paid faster, you want a payment processor that can integrate its systems with your system. So if you have back office development going on, if you are developing an e-commerce site, listen up. This message is for you. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than 2 decades. They have a lot of experience, and they can integrate what they're doing with your systems, and that's really, really important. There's no long-term contracts. They are secure and technology-focused. You can call them at 866-243-5040, and you will talk to a human being, Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, 866-243-5040, or check them out online at ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, ReliaFund.com. fund.com. Well, nothing upsets some voters in Minnesota more than light rail. There are currently 2 light rail lines in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and I think there is one plan for Rochester, Minnesota. One of the Minneapolis and St. Paul lines runs along Hiawatha Avenue to the airport from downtown. This is the original line. Another one runs along the old 16-bus line from downtown Minneapolis all up University Avenue over to the state capitol in St. Paul. Several additional light rail lines are planned for Minneapolis and St. Paul. Some have said as many as 20. Support for rail projects in this state and in the Twin Cities goes back 44 years. A recent poll found 72% of Minnesota voters support transit projects, and most specifically for this podcast, 92% of Democrats support light rail in the state of Minnesota. This is to say Democrats usually support light rail. To say that is to say basically the sky is blue most of the time. The project about to get underway is the 3rd light rail line, which is called the Southwest Line, and it is what I'm talking about here. This is one of the ones that really just, aside from Omar, this one really just knocks me out. This line is going to run from downtown Minneapolis through Southwest Minneapolis all the way out to some distant location. It doesn't matter where. The Green Line, the one between Minneapolis and St. Paul, cost $1 billion. The Hiawatha Line cost about $1 billion, $780 million, with something like $300 million of funding from the federal government. I think the funding for Southwest from the federal government is going to be around $400 million. Not to mention the many, many subsidies and grants from various state and federal agencies designed to spur development along the LRT lines. And these are what concerns us in this podcast. My experience has been that people are very excited about trains in this state and in Minneapolis and St. Paul until the train comes through their neighborhood or affects their business or something happens somehow that has to do with the train. Then they become arch opponents of these projects. What's amusing to me is that the number of Democrats who support these kinds of projects is in large majorities. And you hear them say all the time, when they look at traffic, for example, we can't go on like, just look at this traffic, we can't go on like this with all these cars. Trains are better for the environment. Trains take cars off the road and ameliorate traffic congestion. And the big one, trains create jobs, or trains are a public good until they want to put the light rail through the neighborhood, and then they become fervent NIMBYs, not in my backyard. So the Southwest Rail Line is scheduled to be constructed through one of Minneapolis and St. Paul's jewels, the Inner Lake District. This is right between Lake of the Isles and something called Beatty Makaska, better known as Lake Calhoun. These are two of the richest and most Democrat districts in the entire city of Minneapolis. This is where all the tax base is. And the train line will go right through there on down toward a crossroads of sorts, Excelsior Avenue, which runs down to St. Louis Park, and Route 7, better known in the neighborhood as West Lake Street, which runs west. There's a lot of anticipated development here, and I'll just quickly tell you what it is. There's a several-story hotel designated to replace the BP station at the split. This is the Excelsior and Westlake split, which is a tiny little district and right on the edge of Lake Calhoun. And during the summer or at drive time, this place, you can't even hardly walk through there, let alone drive a car through there. And then they're also planning several multi-story apartment buildings in that little triangle where there is currently a several-story apartment building. So let me explain. You've got this very tight little triangle where tons of cars are leaving out of downtown Minneapolis on West Lake Street. It splits to Excelsior to go on out to 100, or splits to 7 to go on out to Highway 100. And at drive time, you can't move in that area. If you have to go through uptown or through this part of the city, forget about it. You're not going anywhere. And they want to put several 24-story apartment buildings in this area with, I don't know, an 8 to 10-story hotel right on the grounds where currently there is a several-story, 10, I think it's a 15, 16, 20-story building that's in there now. And I have a lot of friends around there and friends who live in that building. They are all Democrats, and many of them are furious about the LRT going through their little bucolic neighborhood with trees and access to bike trails and a lake. And one apartment building has a little community garden where residents can have parties in the wood during the summer. And all that is going to be razed to be replaced by parking lots and huge apartment buildings, not to mention the density in terms of the people who are going to be living in that area. What seems to be lost on these people is 62 years of Democrat government in the 5th District, more in Minneapolis city government, not to mention the Met Council, an unelected board of suzerains appointed by generally successive Democrat governors, all of them with a penchant for public projects, especially shiny trains. These residents are community organizing in an effort to stop the LRT, which now that a Democrat governor, milquetoast Republican Senate, and Democrat House is going to be greenlighted, you know it's going to be greenlighted, and you know it's going to be pushed through no matter what any of these people say. When they talk about their little organization meetings, I say, you know what, you guys, this thing has been decided, and you can bitch and moan all you want, and they're going to build it. Finally, Republicans in the state are furious, furious, I tell you, over the plans of newly elected Democrat Governor Tim Walz to raise taxes, supported by the Democrat House, even though these Republicans had the opportunity to elect a Republican governor. And basically what happened was they stayed home to watch the results on TV, having forgotten to vote. Remember all those Somali and Jews who voted for Omar? Guess what? They also voted for Tim Walz. And it is deeply satisfying and yet amusing and sad to see people who voted for people like Omar and Walz and Democrats who for years never met a public project they didn't like, suddenly furious over a public project that endangers their precious Democrat neighborhoods, or Republicans who couldn't be bothered to door knock and fight during the election period, suddenly furious at threatened gas tax increases and complaining about what it's going to do to businesses and so forth, or Democrats for that matter, since that gas tax is going to fund their precious transportation projects. And there's a lot of Democrats upset about tax increases as well. So what's the moral of the story? Government is increasingly a dangerous force in our lives. In fact, I would call it a pernicious force in our lives. It doesn't matter if you are a Republican or Democrat. You know, these politicians who appear to be so different and so amazing, and people who are true to their word get elected and proceed to walk all over the people that elected them. Good example is, of course, I hate to say it, President Trump was all about, you know, he's a conservative, and his budget is $4.7 trillion, and he is on track to spend more money than Bush or Obama, who he complained about consistently. You know, President Obama complained about foreign wars and Bush's drone policy and yet continued it, and has also been criticized as well by Congressman Omar, and I think correctly, for doing that. Now, I don't agree with Omar. I don't agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I don't agree with socialists and left-wing Democrats. But I also find that quote-unquote right-wing Republicans seem oddly collective when it comes to spending money. So again, government in general is a, I believe, pernicious force and a negative force. And I'm worried because we have a complex and generally productive controlled market economy. It certainly isn't capitalism in my view, but it can be very negatively affected and influenced by government actions. And the same is true on the foreign policy front. And I would just ask people, when it comes to getting what you want, what do you expect if you have voted Democrat all your life? If you're Jewish and you voted for Omar, did you really expect that a Muslim Somali refugee who might have a slightly different view of Israel than she indicated when she ran would back Israel once she was elected? If you've supported the increasing heavy hand of the Minneapolis city government and Met Council when it came to transportation issues in other parts of the city, why are you suddenly upset when the railroad is coming through your backyard right now? If you're a lazy Republican who spends all day listening to Rush and watching Fox News, and you're suddenly upset about gas tax increases, where were you in December of 2017 when a few of your brethren were trudging through the snow and ice to door knock? I hate to say it, but you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you deserve. Summer is coming, and that means the air show at EAA, and Alpha Systems is going to be there. If you're a pilot, you're going to want to visit the Alpha Systems booth because they have the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems was developed for safety because in civil aviation, the biggest problem is that pilots think they can feel how much lift their wing is producing. They make a final turn to land, and they dump, and that is a huge problem. And if you are a pilot, what the AOA is it's an indicator that shows how much lift your wing is producing in turns, and it's right on the dashboard. So when you're looking and you're looking through the windows, you can be looking right at that angle of attack indicator, and that's one of the great reasons to visit the booth and check it out. I'll tell you more about it when we get closer to EAA. Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com for more info. Thanks again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. This is the time of the year when you have heating and plumbing problems because of the freezing and the thawings. If you want reliable service, check out Ryan Plumbing and Heating online at ryanplumbing.com or call 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Once again, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. RyanPlumbing.com. And of course, there's a Minnesota tie to this great Rolling Stones song, You Can't Always Get What You Want. And that is the story of a guy named Mr. Jimmy, who was the town gadfly in Excelsior. Rumors are, or the story is, that Mick Jagger went into a diner or fountain there to get himself a cherry Coke, which was made with real cherries. And he was in line, and behind him was Mr. Jimmy. And when he couldn't get the cherry Coke, he was very upset. And Mr. Jimmy said, "You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need." It ain't that way in politics. Thanks for listening to Podcast 814, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Bye-bye. I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find. Get my fair share of abuse. Singing words gonna vent our frustration. If we don't